The world's richest man, Elon Musk, has succeeded with his offer to buy the social media platform Twitter for $44 billion, making headlines across the world. The move has many people wondering what's in store for the platform, and will this move mean the return of Donald Trump? The former president has been off the platform for 15 months after being banned over last year's protests. The Wire's Anthony Dockrill investigated.
So, Elon, a few hours ago, you made an offer to buy Twitter. Why?
How'd you know?
Little bird tweeted in my ear or something, I don't know.
That exchange took place 11 days ago, when the CEO of Tesla, Elon Musk, on a TED Talk, spoke about his offer to buy Twitter. Initially, many industry watchers, like the audience at the TED Talk, were unclear if the offer was one to even take seriously. But today, the news has come that the board of Twitter have accepted his offer. The White House press secretary, when pressed today on the issue, made it clear that Biden's administration's position on social media remains unchanged.
What I can tell you as a general matter, no matter who owns or runs Twitter, the president has long been concerned about the power of large social media platforms, the power they have over our everyday lives, has long argued that tech platforms must be held accountable for the harms they cause.
Earlier today, I spoke with Australian academic Dr. Sasha Malatoris about what Musk's position on absolute freedom of speech may mean for the platform. You know, rich people buy things all the time, but this acquisition by Elon isn't just another property added to a portfolio. He's been very clear he's motivated by a desire not just to own Twitter, but to change it. He wants to make it more open, more platform for free speech in absolute terms. Is Musk buying Twitter a good thing?
Good for whom? Is it good for him? Maybe, but you have to ask, what's he buying it for? You know, as you were suggesting, it's probably not a business investment. $44 billion is quite a lot of money, even if maybe not to Elon Musk, but it's quite a lot of money. Is that going to pay dividends financially? I don't know. But I would think more likely is that there's an element of personal interest in there, and there's an element possibly of public interest. So that's kind of what we're picking apart. Is he doing it for the greater good, or is he doing it for himself? And it's probably a bit of a mix of both. And to be honest, I think he's a little bit misguided if he's doing it for the public good, although that remains to be seen. Twitter under Elon Musk may end up being a better place because at the moment, sure, there's a lot of good speech on Twitter, but it's also quite toxic at times and a lot of people stay away from it because of that. So, you know, we just have to see what this vision of free speech absolutism leads to in the real world.
Well, look, Musk has said many times that he sees Twitter as the digital town square. I mean, he said that many times. It's a town square. I mean, should the town square be owned by the world's richest man?
Yeah, right. So there's a particular specific problem. I love that vision. I love that vision of the public town square. That's what everyone wants the internet to be, and that's what the original vision of the internet kind of, you know, a lot of the idealists who were there in the early days wanted it to be. And we've seen flowering of that here and there, but now it's the internet and all these platforms are corporate entities. They're big companies with big corporate interests, whether we're talking about Alphabet or Meta, or in this case, you know, a slightly smaller scale Twitter. Yeah, so to your question, absolutely. Is the kind of free speech that we're going to get and the platform that we're going to get really just the expression of this man who is, very, very powerful, very rich, has very strong opinions? You know, is that going to be his version of free speech?
Musk's also said that he does not support bans. He supports like a timeout system. If that's the case, that would mean people like Trump, the Proud Boys, can be back on that platform very soon. Should we be worried about that?
Yeah, look, I said earlier, I think, you know, with free speech, we do need to make these hard decisions about who gets allowed on to a platform and who gets to have their voice heard. I think people who are just patently, blatantly spreading lies, if that's, you know, to give an example, should not be prominent. lies can do real damage. You know, we keep seeing with misinformation and disinformation what sort of damage is being done. And Twitter, of course, was a platform that was instrumental with the January 6th Capitol uprising in the US.
You mentioned before about toxicity on the platform. I mean, many high-profile journalists in recent times have left the platform. Lisa Miller, Lee Sales come to mind. You know, if women and journalists find Twitter to be an unsafe place, is the risk that, you know, Musk takes Twitter further down this road?
If the gates are just opened more to more types of speech, that might mean that we just get more toxic speech, more hate speech, more bullying, more misogyny. And so people who should be there, you know, female journalists, just for one example, we shouldn't be working towards a platform where they get bullied away from here. Then it becomes much less like the public square that Musk is so devoted to and says he wants.
That was lecturer at the Center for Media Transition at the University of Technology Sydney, Dr. Sacha Molitores. Ending the story from The Wires, Anthony Dockrill.